You're listening to the True Blue Podcast, sponsored by the Victoria City Police Union. Real stories told by real police officers working in Victoria and Esquimalt. What are the streets of Victoria and Esquimalt really like? The True Blue Podcast will give you some personal insights into what happens when wearing a police uniform.
Welcome back, everyone, to the True Blue Podcast. My name is Matt Waterman. Today in the room, sidekick Steve on the soundboard. Thank you, Steve, for helping out.
Pleasure to be here as usual.
And our guest today from recruit class number 168, Elle Hamilton. Welcome.
Thanks for having me.
She's a brand new constable, about to head over to the Justice Institute of British Columbia at the Police Academy. And she's one of two recruits for our spring class at Vic PD. And we're happy to have her here today. So as it turns out, Elle is actually a listener of the podcast. So we're going to do the rapid fire anyway and see if we can come up with some different answers. You ready, Elle?
I'm ready.
Okay, here we go. Sushi or curry chicken?
Sushi, for sure.
Colgate or Crest?
Crest.
Okay. Breaking Bad or House of Cards?
Breaking Bad.
All right. I love that show. Yeah. Who's your favorite lacrosse player?
Ooh. Probably Gary Gate, Victoria.
All right. Yeah. Yes. And it's not Grant Hamilton. We'll talk about that later. Okay. So what we do with recruits is we get a chance to get to know them. And for our listeners, you know, these people are kind of the pride and joy of the Vic PD starting out. And yesterday I went to the swearing in of the two new individuals, which Elle was one of them, and the mayor and the chief had some nice things to say. What did you think of the swearing in ceremony?
It was, there's a lot more people than I thought there were going to be in there. So I was a little bit nervous, yeah. But I thought it was great. I think it was the first swearing in ceremony that you guys have been able to have in person since COVID. Yeah. But definitely kind of made things feel real for sure. But
especially with family and friends,
yeah,
there.
Mm-hmm.
Back in the day, you know, not that everybody really cares, but, you know, I remember going to the courthouse with my classmates. We're all driven in three different detective cars, I think. And, okay, line up. Everybody say the same thing at the same time. You know, you're mm-hmm. duly sworn in. Carry on. Get back to your duty, right? And no family, no friends, no nothing. So I think Vic PD does a good job of the swearing-in ceremony, and it's nice to sort of hear where you and your classmates come from. And it's a great little memory, I guess, for the future. So.
Yeah, no, sure. It was super enjoyable.
So for our listeners, Elle, tell everybody where you grew up, where you're from, and we'll go from there.
Okay. I was grew up, born and raised here in Victoria. I've spent a little bit of time down in the States for school the last couple of years, but yeah, Victoria through and through.
Where'd you graduate high school?
Claremont Secondary.
Claremont. Mm-hmm. Wow. Okay. So Elle kind of indicated she went to university in the States. So tell us about that. You got a scholarship, student athlete.
Mm-hmm.
Where'd you go?
Yeah, I went to a smaller private Division II institution, okay, called Tiffin University,
yeah,
in a town of Tiffin, Ohio. There's only about 20,000 people,
yeah,
there, so it's very much kind of a typical college town in Midwest U.S.
Yeah.
I played for the women's lacrosse team down there for originally, it was supposed to be 4 years, but luckily was able to get a fifth year.
Okay.
Just due to COVID, stopped my senior season midway, and I was lucky to be able to get back for a fifth and final year, but yeah.
Now, lacrosse down there is field lacrosse?
Yes, field, right, lacrosse. Okay. Yep.
So what's the story when you're playing Div 2? Like, how much do you travel?
Yeah, it really just depends on kind of what your schedule looks like, and, you know, who you have as opponents.
Yeah.
I was, you know, my conference, we were in Ohio. We had people in our conference from Michigan, you know, Missouri, Indiana, kind of those neighboring states.
Okay.
So mostly, you know, our trips were, you know, anywhere from an hour to 5 hours. And sometimes we, you know, do those spring break trips down to Florida, North Carolina. I think my first year we went all the way to, you know, Rhode Island and kind of the East Coast area. So a lot of time on the bus, but those are some, yeah, of the best memories on the bus. So can't, yeah, complain,
absolutely,
too much.
So tell us about your education. What did you take when you were there?
Yeah, so I studied forensic psychology. So it was a Bachelor of Criminal Justice.
Okay.
You know, forensic psychology, a lot of it is kind of a mix between, you know, the criminal justice system, but also, you know, the health system and how, you know, that public health intersection. So focusing a lot on the contributors of, you know, criminal activity, with that being mental health, drug addiction, things like that. So that was my undergrad degree. And then for my fifth year, I returned to TIFFIN, and I was lucky enough to start a master's there for my fifth year. So I completed my master's in business administration with a concentration in leadership and change.
All right. Mm-hmm. So you're ahead of the game for sure.
A little bit.
Right on.
Yeah.
So when you're at TIFFIN, mm-hmm. Other than yourself, who else is a famous TIFFIN grad?
Oh, gosh. I'm trying to picture on our field, we have kind of the Hall of Fame guys with their posters on the wall.
Okay, yeah.
George Whitfield, or he's like a football, I guess, kind of commentator. I'm trying to think of, there's a couple, you know, football guys that did a little NFL, CFL.
Okay.
One guy that I, when freshman year, he was our quarterback. I think he plays for the Montreal Alouettes in the CFL now.
Oh, right.
But it's a pretty small school, so not many notable alumni.
Yeah. Well, you're notable now, so yeah.
I don't know about that.
They might want your money later, but yeah, that's the way it works down in U.S. colleges.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, small schools, but you know, you got a good education.
Mm-hmm.
You got to play. You were a student athlete. Mm-hmm. You got to play lacrosse. That's a pretty good experience.
Oh, it was a great experience. You know, very, very thankful that I had that opportunity to go down for sure.
And were you able to get some scholarship?
Yep.
Funding and so on?
Yep. Luckily enough, I'd be able to have a scholarship kind of from the start of my first year all the way, luckily, through my fifth year as well. So.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So you picked criminal justice mm-hmm. for a purpose. I mean, were you always interested in thinking about becoming a police officer?
Yeah, I think, you know, from a younger age, I've always been interested in, you know, the profession in policing. You know, going to school, I didn't want to, you know, cement myself kind of in strictly in criminal justice, whether that was taking kind of, they had a degree, you know, a law enforcement degree.
Yeah.
I was kind of thinking, you know, if law enforcement doesn't work out for me, what's my backup plan? You know, how can I, you know, take something in school that I would be able to use in the future and also would hopefully help me, you know, if I do end up getting into a career in policing. Yeah. And I thought forensic psychology was kind of a, you know, a good route to go.
So often, as you know, we ask our recruits, mm-hmm. you know, tell us about any family members or anything that that might have influenced you in policing. It turns out that Elle has a mother and a father who are both former members of the Victoria City Police Union. Right?
Yeah.
And her mom, Sue, is retired, and her dad is one of our managers, so he's no longer in the union. So, but... I think it's great that Elle is here, and obviously... Well, maybe they weren't. Were they an influence in you deciding to become a police
officer? Yeah, absolutely.
Right.
You know, growing up, I think I was very lucky to be, you know, exposed to policing, you know, in a very different and, you know, positive light mm-hmm. because of my parents. You know, kind of the root of, you know, why I wanted to become a police officer, you know, is wanting to, you know, follow in the footsteps of, you know, my two biggest role models in life, and that,
right.
you know, were and are my parents.
Right.
So it definitely, you know, had a big influence on my decision to, you know, pursue this career.
So being part of the Vic PD bigger family,
mm-hmm.
I mean, you got to see and know a lot of mm-hmm. the members, I guess, over the years, right?
But, yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. At things like Christmas parties and...
Yeah. I remember being younger and going to like the Santa Claus breakfast that they would have, you know, the night at Gailey Farms that they would put on, kind of all the things that, you know, the union and the department would do for their members. So I definitely remember growing up and kind of being, you know, around, you know, police officers, but, you know, obviously in their personal lives and growing up with their kids. So,
yeah. So when, what about the picnic? You're an athlete. You must have kicked some butt in the races, right?
Yeah, I think vaguely remember a picnic kind of out in the field somewhere. I was so young.
Those are good events. Well, for the parents, they were good too, because it gave something for the kids to do while they were standing around. So when you're down south there, did you get a chance to work?
A little bit. Yeah.
What kind of work did you do? Like, is this in support of your schooling?
Yeah. So, due to like the visa requirements and stuff, there's kind of restrictions on the jobs that you're able to do.
Yeah.
I was able to work a little bit of security, more for fundraising for my team at Cleveland Browns games and up at Cedar Point. So that's kind of a lot of what I did my first couple years. My senior year, I was lucky enough to do an internship in Washington, D.C. So that was, you know, a job Monday through Friday at an organization. Yeah. It was an unpaid internship. But yeah, that was kind of my main chunk of work experience that I had down there.
Okay, let's rewind the tape. Yes. You were at a Cleveland Browns game? Yes. Is there like a dog? You went in the dog pound and everything?
Pretty much, standing kind of in the stands. And this was back in 2017 and 18 when I think maybe they had one win on the season. Yeah. So not the best. Yeah, not still the best the time to be at a Cleveland Browns game, but it was good.
That's awesome. Did you ever dress up as one of the dog pound? Or
No.
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 That's pretty cool to be hanging out there. So good experience. So I guess, you know, I mean, you're new to policing, as of yesterday, but, good experience to kind of get a sense of what it's like to be in a security role like that.
Mm-hmm.
And you indicated before we turn on the tape that, you worked a little downtown bylaw and so on. So tell us about that too.
Yeah, I was a parking ambassador. That's what they called us. Now it's parking services, for the city of Victoria, for about 3 years before I got hired, with the department. So a lot of that was just, I was on foot. So foot patrol through kind of the downtown core, enforcing, you know, parking bylaws and giving out tickets and things like that. So I'm not like obviously the most liked job, you know, in the world, but it was a lot of fun.
Welcome to policing.
Yeah. Prepared me well, I think, you know, just dealing kind of with the public. But yeah, it was a good gig for sure.
Yeah, that I'm sure it was a little bit of fun. So that was kind of a summer thing, was it?
Yeah. So I'd come back and do that in the winters and summers when I'd be home from school. And then over the past year, kind of doing that more on a full-time basis.
Right. So tell us, what do you remember about your parents in the police world? Like in your case, your dad actually had one of the most high-profile jobs being the media officer, right? Mm-hmm. Do you remember that part?
A little bit, yeah. You know, a lot of my memories are, you know, just coming to the departments and, you know, waiting in their offices and going down to the locker rooms while they kind of did their shift changes and things like that. But yeah, I definitely remember, you know, my dad in that media position. I know a couple of times I'd have to wait outside while he's getting interviewed, you know, for him to get off work and things like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, growing up, you know, I remember just asking, you know, my parents for police stories before bed, just tell me kind of any good police story you have. And that was
perfect.
Yeah, that was kind of my, I guess, early exposure to the profession. But yeah.
And I think, I don't know if I've talked about this on the podcast. I think I had when I was working with your mom one time and she shaved her head for Cops for Cancer.
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
I don't know if I was born yet.
Yeah, probably not.
But I've seen pictures, so that did happen.
Yeah, I've seen pictures, yeah. Well, we kind of got, some lady came up and said, oh, thank you very much for shaving your heads. And of course, well, my head has always been like that. But for Sue, she gave up her whole locks of hair for, and that was a commitment. For me, it was nothing. I felt bad, but that's an interesting dedication when you had long hair like she did, right? So what did you get out of your parents for good police stories?
Oh gosh, the one that sticks out of, you know, sticks out for me. I remember my dad, he worked on, you know, with emergency response team for a little bit there. And he was, I know he told me had a guy and he, I guess, had gone into an apartment complex and barricaded himself in a room. And I think their decision was to shut off the power to the apartment complex. Yeah. And I think he ended up falling asleep on the couch and they were waiting outside the door and could hear snoring, you know, through the door and went in and found him passed out kind of in this apartment building. I remember that was kind of the funny one that stuck out.
Well, but it was a serious situation. If I'm in the right mm-hmm. situation, it was probably the Stephen Reed shooting.
Okay.
Where they found him passed out in some innocent person's mm-hmm. home. The emergency response team had to essentially sneak yeah. up and wake him up.
yeah.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting to hear what people, you know, what stories people bring home, right? Because, I mean, obviously, I didn't bring home too many mm-hmm. stories, but you try to bring home something mm-hmm. that might be interesting or funny for the family to hear about. But there's lots of things you really can't talk about and so on, right? But,
yeah, or the stories, obviously, that you share, you just share the funny parts or the ones that, yeah. You know, are entertaining, not necessarily the realities of the situation, especially, you know, being younger, just shielding, wanting to shield your kids from, you know, a lot of kind of the realities of the job. So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so in about 10 years, you'll be bringing home stories and telling your parents, and they'll be in their retirement chairs, and yeah, you can tell stories about what's really going on in the world. Yeah. So are you looking forward to your JIBC Police Academy training?
Yeah, I am. I'm a little nervous right. for sure, but yeah, just excited to get started and kind of get over there and, you know, figure out kind of the structure of things and, yeah. You know, kind of get settled in, but very, very excited, yes.
Well, you've been to an American university, you played on a sports team. I mean, it's like anything, you're going to have to study, you're going to have to get direction, you're going to have to do your physical fitness and... Yeah, so I'm thinking you're ready. And you did some reserve time as well with us, right?
Yeah, shortly, kind of a short stint. I did the reserve training. I was in the September 2021 reserve class.
Okay.
So I graduated in December and then got a few months in before I was hired. So,
yeah.
And the reserve program was, you know, it was great.
That's right.
I joined the reserve program just, you know, I was pretty sure I wanted to, you know, get into policing. I just wanted to make sure, you know, before I made that, you know, it's a big decision that, mm-hmm. You know, I knew exactly what I was getting myself into. And the reserve program's perfect for kind of exposing you to, you know, the profession and what it would be like.
And I think it will prepare, you know, you can be the judge of this when you get to the JI, but it'll prepare you for what to expect at the JI.
Yeah.
Right? You know, the training is similar. I mean, it's not exactly the same, but it's similar and prepping you for everything you need to know when you're on the road, right? So, in your case, you have Will, who was your other classmate who was sworn in. He's an ex-military fella, so he's gonna be going over with you. Do you know if any of the other local police departments have any recruits that you might know? Or
I think Saanich has two recruits that will be with us, but other than that, looking at the list, I don't think any other recruits from the, you know, Victoria area.
Well, you'll get to know a bunch of classmates from around the province and probably be friends for, you know, years to come. And yeah, it's a good opportunity for sure. And it's nice to get over there and get started. And then you'll come back and we'll try to teach you something. But, well, not me, but somebody will. Is there anything, you know, you've got good exposure to policing. You talked about your degree, you know, and the forensic side of things. So what do you see as something that you will be interested in policing? I mean, the typical, obviously, you know what patrol is going to be like and things like that, right? But
yeah, I think, you know, there's definitely a ton of different areas of the department that, you know, I have interest in. I think, you know, doing something like strike force undercover would be cool, or even, you know, up in a detective kind of role.
Yeah.
But just for right now, I'm, you know, really just looking forward to kind of the first, you know, 5 or so years of my career and just, you know, getting my feet wet and learning kind of from my experiences out on patrol.
Yeah, well said. You know, but there is some good opportunities later, and when, you know, you might change your mind. You never know, right? So you could be the best, you know, community liaison officer ever. Yeah. Or you could be a traffic cop, or you could be, let's put it this way. Let's call a spade a spade. Do you want to be the chief of police?
Oh, I don't know about that.
Okay. Well, we got it recorded now, so we'll see. One day you might be the chief of police and then we can bring it up again. So, well, you know, looking forward to what you get out of it, but coming back, I guess, you know, the field training, that's one thing I've actually learned about these interviews is many of the field trainers will listen to this and go, hey, Now I know a little bit more about Elle. Be great to have her as my recruit and things like that, right? So not that they won't know who you are already because you're a Hamilton. But, so what other personal interests does Elle have outside of policing right now?
Yeah, physical fitness is, a big part of my life, having been an athlete for a majority of it.
Yeah.
I really have gotten into weight training a little bit the last few months, just having come back and no longer kind of being an athlete and having to train as, an athlete in the cardio aspect, kind of switching over to more of the weightlifting.
Yeah.
My way of kind of continuing with the game is by coaching lacrosse.
Yeah.
So I do, a few different roles coaching. So I really hope to kind of keep up with that.
So that's with the local clubs?
Yeah. So I've done a little bit of coaching for my, high school. So Claremont Secondary School, they mm-hmm. actually have a new women's lacrosse program that's started, I want to say, maybe 4 or 5 years ago. So just kind of going out there and giving them a hand when I can. There is also a competitive kind of travel program called Fusion West Lacrosse. It's based out of Vancouver. We do a couple camps for the island females that play lacrosse over here, so involved with them as well. But yeah, outside of kind of coaching and keeping physically, fit, I love hiking, just spending time with friends and family.
Yeah.
And I guess I like baking on my my interest for the JI, yeah. And I do a little bit, but the chief kind of called me out for it at my swearing in yesterday. So that was pretty funny. So I guess
baking
too.
Was he asking for a special delivery or something? Like,
yeah.
Well, yeah. Don't take him up on that. Okay? I'll say it out loud. Like, if the chief's asking you, just say, sorry, chief. It's for union members only. So yeah. it's interesting. Your wellness off the job, I think, is very important. It seems like our younger recruits nowadays have a good sense of that, and keeping your mind and your body sound and understanding what you need to do for the future is important. It seems like you got a little bit of that in your education too, right?
Yeah, and definitely, having, two parents that have been in the profession, I think they've done a really good job at kind of, reinforcing the importance of, your mental health and resiliency, in this profession, and making sure you're taking care of your mind and your body, for sure.
Yeah. And when you go through the traumatic incidents, because you will, and just make sure that you understand what do I need to look for? We've had a few discussions on the podcast, of course, about some of the services and opportunities that are out there to make sure you're ready to get back to work after something bad goes on. But because we do see a lot of things that the general public doesn't see, right? So you're ready.
Yeah, I hope so. I think so.
So when we do these, of course, first off, is there anything else you want to say anything else to?
I don't think so.
You're ready to roll, though.
Yeah,
right?
I'm ready to go get started.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And do we know, I guess you haven't been assigned to any specific shift or anything like that at this point?
No, not yet. Yeah. I think that comes a little bit later, closer to block 2.
Okay. Well, we'll see you back for block 2. I guess that'll be probably summertime or summer, early fall, I guess.
Yeah, right? I think mid-August.
Yeah. Okay, right on, Elle. Well, thank you for coming. And of course, as you know, we give out the True Blue podcast coin to all of our guests. And there's your coin.
Thank you.
Obviously, you're the first Hamilton we've had on the podcast, so you can hold that over your parents.
Thank you guys for having me. It's been a lot of fun. I appreciate it.
Okay. Good night, everybody. We'll see you at the next True Blue podcast.
Thank you for listening to the True Blue podcast. Join us next time for more stories about policing in Victoria and Esquimalt. The True Blue podcast is sponsored by the Victoria City Police Union. Thanks to our media partners, H2 Accelerator, who have helped design and deliver our new improved marketing strategies. Thank you to our master of music, Gord McGee. Special thanks to the creators of the True Blue podcast, host Matt Waterman, sound and editing Todd Mason, concept design Daryl Baswick, and sidekick Steve for the production and sound studio. Thank you for listening to the True Blue podcast.